5 years ago, 5 years it was when the world sort of semi spun out of control while trying to face the imminent arrival of the coronavirus, and it was sort of spreading around the world. It slammed many nations, as we all well know. I don't really have to go over that story. And Spain was no different. In fact, it was hit particularly hard, and the measures taken to slow it down were especially extreme, some of the most extreme in Europe, in fact. In fact, it was on this day, March 14th, this is the fifth anniversary, that the government ordered basically the entire population of the country into their homes and forced people to stay there for an undetermined period of time. Initially, it was 2 weeks. It would end up being 6 full weeks of total quarantine, a full lockdown, 42 days cooped up in our homes, and that was just the first stage. And after that, there was a progressive sort of de-escalating of the measures that had been taken to reduce the impact of the virus and the epidemic, or the pandemic, at least it was in this situation. But it was very slow. But anyway, that first part, that first step was really tough to cope with for some people. And just to think, a few days earlier, a few days before March 14th, we were sort of getting ready for this, as the schools had been closed and many of the businesses like bars and restaurants had been closed too. We were all sort of just preparing for this adjustment and really weren't sure how far it would go. But on Saturday, March 14th, people were crowding the streets. I remember we were in the Retiro Park in the center of the city, and basically half of Madrid was there, which it was just packed, which is totally unnormal for the Retiro Park on a Saturday morning. I mean, there are a lot of people there, but it was like something you might find on a really sunny May afternoon. On a Sunday, it might be packed then, but that morning it was just people wanted a place to go, and not just in the city itself. People were leaving Madrid and they were going out to the country, and I was getting pictures sent to me from friends from the outskirts or up in the mountains where thousands were flocking to get out into the open air. And the thing is, they were all basically going to the same place, which is a very Spanishy thing to do. There's sort of that clumping rule. They like to go to the same place altogether. So the government, facing a huge crisis that was only going to get worse, decided to declare what they called un estado de alarma, state of alarm, basically a state of emergency, and said enough was enough. Everyone had to get back to their homes and stay in their homes by Sunday. And no one was allowed to leave. And that's what happened. We just went back and got in our apartment, unsure of what was going to happen. The only places that were open were basically, first necessity places, pharmacies, supermarkets, and then you had sort of quirky ones like barbers and hairdressers, but they were eventually removed from the list. Even though they were a source of a lot of joking for the Spaniards who were going to say they were going to have to go get their haircuts every day just to get out. And that's how the lockdown began. So we just sort of lived day by day in our homes, working remote. From a teacher's point of view, it was particularly challenging because we were in no way prepared for that, even though we had a lot of experience working online or doing things online and looking for information online. Working with students online was totally uncharted territory for us, especially with younger kids and for the families. And it just took a long time to get this process sort of rolling with them. And it was, there were terribly long days. And I remember a friend of mine saying, "Oh, well, then you won't have class, so you'll have a lot of free time to read some books and do some writing and do some podcasts." And it wasn't at all like that. It wasn't at all like that. We were doing 12-hour days of work trying to get all the kids organized. It was tough. And then going out, you couldn't go out at all, only to go to the pharmacy, if that, or to a supermarket. And if you're going to go to the supermarket, it could only be one person from the household. You couldn't have two people going together in the street. If the cops caught you, they would pull you over and give you a ticket. And that apparently happened quite a bit in the first 6 weeks. Those 6 weeks of the major lockdown, something like 900,000 people were given fines for violating the lockdown order. The streets were deserted, especially at nighttime. There was absolutely no one around. The city got so quiet that even on the outskirts and sort of the neighborhoods near the outskirts of Madrid, some of the wildlife were starting to come back in. You'd see images of wild boars sort of trotting down the street all alone, knowing that there were no humans around to be a threat to them. And then there were moments of solidarity every day at 8 o'clock on the dot. People would go out to their balconies, to their windows, and start clapping, basically in support of all the healthcare workers and all the patients, all those affected by the COVID virus. And that was every day. Every day at 8 o'clock, thousands of people in the neighborhood would come out and start applauding for about 3 minutes. And we actually made friends. I have friends today that I met as a result of just looking at each other every day from a distance. And after it was all over, we got together, and I still have friends from that moment. So it was not easy by any stretch of the imagination, but there were some moments about it that I guess you look back with a certain sense of nostalgia. I have friends from the United States who sometimes ask me, but what was it like? Why did the Spanish seemed to be quite docile in that sense. They accepted this situation because it was very extreme, and they seemed to go with it. And you're right. It was and on one hand, I think there are a lot of factors there. I think one thing that's very important in a culture like Spain's culture is family. So doing what you can to make sure that especially the elderly were free of getting this disease, especially the first wave of the COVID, because that was really the most dangerous version of this disease. Doing what you can to prevent that from getting to those people was vital to millions of Spaniards. And you were also helping the healthcare services at the hospitals because they were swamped. And basically, the government made this decision. I think the intentions were essentially correct in doing what they could to just quarantine, lock down everyone for a few weeks, at least initially, to help bring this first wave under control, because the hospitals were no longer able to handle the volume, the number of patients coming in. They didn't have the equipment. There weren't enough ventilators, so families would have to be told that, listen, this person who is maybe 85 and is barely alive, they're not going to give him a ventilator because they're going to give it to a slightly younger person who seems to have a better chance, a fighting chance of staying alive. And it was incredible how hard those decisions must have been, and it was only going to get worse. So there was a sense of coming together and being together for a greater good. But it took a while, especially it was every 2 weeks the government would make another decision on whether they would continue this state of alarm. And after 2 weeks, then it was another 2 weeks, and then it was another 2 weeks of the major lockdown. And after that, people were starting to get a little bit frustrated, a little bit tired, especially people I know who were living alone. It was really, really tough on them. And then in late April, they started opening up a little bit. Certain age groups could go out at different times to sort of avoid masses of people running out into the street. Masking was mandatory. In fact, it would be mandatory for a very long time in this country. And then some of the businesses began to open up little by little. The government didn't want to provoke an overreaction by opening up everything immediately. I don't know why I was thinking this, but I somehow thought that they would just say, announce that it's over with and we could all go out. Looking back at it in hindsight, it makes much more sense that returning to normalcy would be phased in little by little. Of course, none of us had any experience with pandemics, so now that I look back at it, it all made sense. But at the time, it was sometimes quite frustrating. So it was just sitting at home. I guess it was help, but you had TV, you had the internet, and you had platforms. So you could keep busy doing other things, watching TV, being in touch with people. Skype, which no longer exists, I believe, but back then it was big. It's also when Zoom became big, and all these apps for conference calls. People were able to be together, at least in that sense. And you just sort of tried to make the best of the time. I had a friend of mine who, from another part of Madrid, another part of Spain, in Murcia, who's an excellent friend of mine and an excellent chess player. And we would play chess games back and forth, sometimes just to bide time. But eventually things began to open up little by little. That's almost a second. I actually have some podcasts on that sort of go through stage by stage how it worked out. And it was an interesting experience, certainly one I hope I don't have to relive, and I'm sure I'm not alone in that opinion. But it happened, and we made it, and we made it happen for better or for worse, the good and the bad. But as I said, today marks the 5th anniversary of that day. And as I said at the beginning, we were in the park, sort of thinking, what's going to happen? Life is going to be restricted. But even that very day, before they announced it, we weren't sure that was going to happen. We thought we were going to still be able to live a somewhat normal life, being able to go out and about and stuff like that, be careful. We just couldn't be in schools and things like that. And that was not the case. And that began this odyssey that would go on for 6 weeks and then 3 months before the state of emergency was called off. As it got closer to the end, there was more and more opposition to the government and the decision to declare the state of alarm. Not so much the decision to declare the state of alarm, but the measures taken. That restricted movement, the right to gather, the right to do a lot of things that are fundamental rights for people in society. Those decisions, those measures were declared illegal by the Constitutional Court, basically with the Spanish equivalent of the Supreme Court. As I said, not because the call for a state of emergency was illegal, it was the decisions or the decisions, the orders made by the government, because of that was not constitutional. For that to happen, you have to declare what they call a state of exception, which is when a government decides to suspend all basic rights, habeas corpus, and things like that, to deal with an exceptional situation. The Constitutional Court said it was a very complicated situation, but it was not exceptional, and that the government actually had no right to restrict the population to the lengths that it did. And most of the fines that were given to those people, if they were forced to pay, if they had to pay in the end, they were actually returned to the people who had been accused of breaking the law. But certainly, from a constitutional standpoint, it's a really interesting case to look at for a number of different reasons. But anyway, we made it through. I like to think that because of that sacrifice that we made, hopefully we did save lives, and probably did, not just a few, quite possibly thousands of lives. And that's, I guess, something that's comforting. But anyway, that happened 5 years ago, and I was just thinking about it, and I thought I'd share that with you today. And that'll be all for this podcast brought to you by Brian Spain Domain. Please feel free to leave us any comments or questions because we love the feedback. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, and Castos. Or if you wish to support Brian Spain Domain, we greatly appreciate it. We work very hard to provide you with the best information about Spain, Spanish history, and Spanish culture. Our podcasts are free, so you can enjoy them. But we always encourage listeners to support us if they would like to. You can do so by clicking on our PayPal donate button on our website, or if you want to have access to absolutely all of our podcasts and support us regularly, you can check us out on Patreon at the link provided below. And to sign off, actually this sign off, which I'm about to tell you right now, came as a result of the pandemic, and it is my famous stay well, stay safe, and hasta pronto.